I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. For those of you joining us for the first time, Bad Storytellers is a podcast about a small group of amateur writers who submit and critique each other's work as well as discuss the written media we consume. It's like a book club but with a wider focus. Our group submissions are shared on our website, badstorytellers.com, and you can download them there if you'd like to read along with us. Additionally, we also accept your submissions for critique. If you would like some feedback with the same candor that we give each other, send in your submission to badstorytellers@gmail.com. Entries must be 10 pages or less. Additionally, at the end of each show, we roll the dice, pick three genres, and come up with a movie idea. Once we decide upon a name, we record the trailer for your listening pleasure. Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Bad Storytellers podcast, where we turn bad writers into good ones, starting with our own local writing circle. I'm Josh LaForge, your host, and with me is Douglas Banks.
Hello.
Liam Malone.
Waka waka.
And Max Wessel.
Hello.
Before we turn on the mics, we read each other's writings, and then once the mics are on, we kind of talk it out. As well as everything we talk about today will be posted on the website, badstorytellers.com, along with the links to every book we talk about, every film we talk about, and our own writing that we've turned in for discussion. Now, we're going to go over retractions that are actually from last week, because we lost an entire episode. I'm going to go into that a bit more in a minute here.
We're retracting an entire episode.
Yeah. Okay. So the first retraction is our last episode. Our second retraction is in the book Neverwhere. The character's name was the Marquis de Carabas.
Ah, Carabas. Yes.
Yeah. He got his name from the character who owned the cat in Puss in Boots.
Ooh.
Because Neil Gaiman was like, "What kind of person would own this cat?" And that's the character he came up with. And also, we fucked up the final line of 1984. It's not "I love Big Brother," it's "He loved Big Brother," because it's not first person. And the guy who looked like Moby in High Fidelity was Todd Luizzo playing the character Dick. So we
every bald white guy looks like Moby.
We recorded an entire episode last week, and the program we used to record it, which was Audacity, I guess I had to change some settings or something that I hadn't changed. But the initial settings that it came with made it so that all the audio was skipping every 10 or so seconds, and it was completely unlistenable. However, we recorded in three separate instances. So the only instance that wasn't screwed up was the trailer that we recorded. So as a little bit of a preamble, the trailer that we came up with, we rolled the dice, and we got romance as a genre, romantic comedy as a genre, and hard sci-fi as a genre. So we came up with a romantic comedy that's kind of a play on Cyrano de Bergerac, where a guy is trying to woo a female
I'm trying to woo
a male is trying to woo a female human who is really into machines and technology. Possibly dildonics. We didn't go into that.
I was not there, but I listened to it, and I quite enjoyed it.
And he gets his robot friend, Killmaster 600, to help him. So it's
Cyrano for him.
Yeah, Cyrano de Bergerac. So you guys are going to hear the trailer that we recorded because it's the only thing that survived that recording. Here it is, the trailer for Better Than the Real Thing.
Paul was a handsome, hardworking stiff from the lower levels.
Quitting time and the protein bar. Gonna get some tail.
But there was one woman he just couldn't land.
It's Rachel. I just can't talk to her. You gotta help me, Killmaster 600.
What are her interests?
Yeah, man. You're asking the right questions. She's into machines. Fixing them, plugging them in. I don't know anything about that kind of stuff.
I can provide assistance.
Together, they're gonna troubleshoot his love life.
Hey, Meatbrain, what are you doing in my yard?
you noticed that her vehicle's confabulator required ecumenical calibration.
I noticed. Your confabulator. It needs calibrating.
Oh, yeah, it does. You know about machines and gears and stuff?
Your paternal caregiver was mechanically inclined.
Yeah, of course. My dad was... a robot?
Excuse me? You said your dad was a robot?
Yeah, my mom, built a robot. He raised me.
Good recovery.
Oh? Oh, that's really interesting. I'd love to hear more.
But when she finds out Paul was actually running Killmaster's program, things really start to overclog.
You prefer the cold touch of wrought steel to human skin?
Oh, yes. I've always found machines to be very sensual.
Elaboration is necessary.
Well, I synced my toaster. You know, other times I feel flushed when I notice my washing machine looking at me. I can't believe I'm telling you this, but other times I even find myself rubbing against my car's steering wheel.
I should warn you, I am a single operator machine.
Don't worry, they don't mean nothing to me next to you.
You're gonna need to bring your heat sink this winter to Better Than the Real Thing.
What about me?
That was lovely. Yeah, I liked that.
What'd you guys think? Yeah, it was pretty good.
I especially liked Doug's parts.
It was better than the real episode.
The robot voice was great.
That was Tony. Tony's not a member of this podcast, but he did it. He set up our recording stuff today. So what about you guys? What have you guys done in the past 2 weeks? What have you read, watched, and recorded?
I rewatched Star Wars.
You saw it a second time?
Yeah.
This is The Force Awakens.
Yes.
Force, re-watched, as I'm calling it.
And I started reading this book called Spade and Archer. It's a prequel to The Maltese Falcon. It's pretty good.
That's the modern one, right? Different
yes.
writers?
Yeah. Different writer. I forget the name of the writer.
I started writing my character for this story.
Yeah, I already threw that away.
Are you talking character for what story?
Bowman, Mr. Bowman.
Is that a story?
Yeah. Goblin, the Goblin PI.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know his name. Sorry, 2 weeks ago, you brought in the Goblin PI
yes.
story, and that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Okay.
His name is Mortimer.
Mortimer Bowman?
Mortimer Bowman. Does he use a bow?
No.
Good.
Is he an orc?
What?
He better be an orc.
Yeah, all right.
He's an orc.
But I was trying to figure out how he was magically changed, and I'm doing character profiles.
I should bring up because you said Star Wars. We're going to discuss Star Wars, but we don't want to hit people with spoilers. So we're going to do the entire episode, and then along with the trailer, and then after the trailer ends, we're going to let you know that Star Wars talk is coming up, and we're going to be spoilerific. But I think we can all say we all enjoyed Star Wars.
Yeah, we all saw it.
Yeah, you should see it. If you liked Star Wars, it's
safe to love again.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you haven't seen it, you don't care by now. So.
Well, but that way, if you don't want to hear spoilers, you can turn off the episode and still maintain your purity, I guess. What else, Liam?
Oh, I reread Slaughterhouse-5. That's pretty much it.
It's a good book.
That's what I've been doing. It's good. I really liked it. I forgot how much I liked it and how much there was in it.
Very lighthearted and silly about very serious stuff.
Which is kind of my jam.
What about you, Doug?
I watched The Long Goodbye.
Was it long?
No. It's actually a very reasonable length. It's the director is slipping my mind right now. How can I not remember?
You also saw Star Wars.
Yeah, I also saw Star Wars. But the long goodbye, it took me completely by surprise because it was a gift for Christmas. Mm. I actually I'm recommending it to Liam because of the detective novel. This is a film
seen
based
it.
On. Oh, you've already seen it. Let's say if
it's a noir movie, I probably saw it.
Yeah, it's based on a Philip Marlowe book. So. You're probably already familiar. Everything I recommend that you should look into, you've already done, so I need to just stop at this point.
No. Keep it up, because I really enjoy being like, no, Doug, beat you to the punch.
Mm-hmm. But it was great. Made me think about my writing in terms of like, oh, this is a character. It didn't have that much backstory. It just told the story. It didn't, you know, it's classic.
It didn't need
detective.
To be an origin story about the
no,
character.
No, yeah. So made me think about things that I'm writing. I also started reading Snow Crash. And I'm also started reading Ready Player One.
Oh, I want to read Ready Player One.
I got that for Christmas, and everything I've heard about Ready Player One made me be like, ugh, I ain't going to like that. You know, like, it's so nostalgia,
yeah,
fanboyish, whatever, which I am guilty of all of those things. Yeah. But I didn't think it's like the type of book that I would write, so who would want to read that? You know what I mean? Right, so, but I read the beginning of it, and it's getting interesting. So far, Snow Crash really sort of grabs you by the throat and doesn't really let go. But
It's kind of impressive how much it commits to being so silly.
Yeah.
But taking it so seriously at the same time.
Yeah. So on top of that, I saw Star Wars 3 times.
for real? Three times?
Yeah. Once, wow. Once for journalistic purposes, once with my mom, and then once with another friend. So every time I go, I see it with someone who's watching it for the first time and getting all the feedback and everything else. So other than that, just trying to finish working on my stuff, but that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Max?
Well, I went to the movies 3 times to see Star Wars.
3 times as well?
3 times to see
Star
Wars.
Wow, I'm missing out here.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm feeling bad. At 2, I was like, I'd watch it twice. That's enough.
Yeah, 3, I saw it 3 times, and I enjoyed it. I finished Snow Crash.
Speaking of which, Sunday matinee, next time. I want to do it again.
Yeah, it's $5.
All right,
done. I heard it's $5, but I think it's only $4 more for those seats.
You have to go at like 11 a.m., though.
Yeah.
I'm going to be up on Sunday.
I'm just letting you know. I thought it would be like before 5.
But $9 for those reclining seats, that's not too bad. We got to find out about that.
So you finished Snow Crash.
I finished Snow Crash, and I hated it.
Yeah. You didn't even like the stuff about the Nam Shub of Enki?
That was cool and everything, but I hated the ending, I'll say.
Okay.
I hated the middle. I liked the beginning of the ending, and then I hated the ending.
What about the beginning is what I just read, and so far I'm like, this is kind of fun.
No, the beginning is great. Yeah. But then, yeah, I really, really hated the ending of the book. The solid ending.
I liked YT.
That was terrible.
I liked the character of YT.
Yeah, no, she was cool.
And how she handled the bad guy.
But I had the reaction that you guys have to 1984 to it, because it's so libertarian wet dream of like, this is what's going to happen, this is great.
I don't think it's a wet dream because everything's awful.
No, yeah. Because it's awful to you, but when libertarians read that, like, yes, this is how it should be, and I have that visceral. No.
How can anyone read that and be like, this sounds like a great plan? Like, it's a joke how bad it is.
Yeah, but there are people out there
laughing at how bad.
That's what they want.
The best hacker in the world has to run pizzas for the mafia. I don't think that's anybody's.
But he lives in a goddamn storage unit, like a 10x10 storage unit, and the only good thing about it is that you get to see the planes cut their cut in front of the sunset, so you get like a weird little flicker effect. It's like, that's kind of cool sometimes. Other than that, I'm just veg out.
I had like
VR.
A viscerally bad reaction to where I stopped reading the book for like 2 weeks. I just
that's on you, motherfucker.
Yeah, I think you're dealing with some very harsh preconceptions about the story, because I just enjoyed it.
Or maybe just the goal of that.
No, I'm just like reading it. I just felt so weird and gross by the world that he was living in.
Well, he's supposed to. It's a weird and gross world.
It's a dystopia. Yeah.
Two weeks ago, you guys were crying about 1984 and how it hurt you, and
I'm saying hurt. We still loved it.
Nobody reads 1984 other than North Korea and is like, yes.
I don't know. There was order. Trains ran on time.
That's right. You were the only one defending 1984.
That's true, yeah.
It's like...
No, and then I'm back on reading Turtle Dove again. I'm reading his young adult series, Across Time.
It's called Across Time?
Yeah, it's about an Earth that is running out of resources, and then they figure out alternate time travel. Not time travel, but alternate. So they go to other Earths and...
Them blind?
Well, they don't rob them blind. They just trade, and there's so many of them that they fix the Earth's problems by just trading. So it goes through different cultures. Like, there's one I'm reading about...
It's almost like Wanted, where the supervillains just go into different...
But there's one where like Rome survives but doesn't progress very much. There's a bunch of ones where America falls apart and all kinds of... And Europe, 4 out of 5 people die in the Black Plague instead of 1 in 3.
Wow.
So...
That would be a way different world.
Yeah. So it's just that kind of... And it's good. It's young adult, so it's not the best writing, but I enjoy the stories, so reading those again.
Cool.
And I saw Star Wars 3 times.
3 times. I saw Star Wars 1 time, and it was
The odd man out now.
Yeah, I saw it with my mom, actually. My mom wanted to see it. She's like, I hear that Harrison Ford's in this as Han Solo. I want to see it. That was my mom's reaction. Mm-hmm. She's like, I want to see it. I hear he's in it. I hear he agreed to do it. That's all I came here to see.
And she got it.
She loved it, and she loved Poe Dameron. she's sitting next to me in the theater, and... You know what? We'll save this for the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, she loved Poe Dameron. Also, I read John Carter of Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, John Carter of Mars is the movie. Yeah. I read Princess of Mars with John Carter, the first John Carter book, and it was fucking awesome. It was so good. It was everything that anyone has ever liked about Star Wars, Flash Gordon,
Avatar.
Buck Rogers, no, Avatar.
It is, and it is amazing.
It is so good.
Yeah.
It was really enjoyable, and I think the thing that makes it a little more unique than those is that the perspective of somebody from Virginia who has no idea what's going on was like, well, you know, I tried, and then this mm-hmm. was really difficult, and I didn't know what was going on, but my nature demanded that I act.
Yeah.
It was very, very enjoyable and relatable, and the characters are great. You really start to feel for the characters that are not human even, because there's a moment where there's a big reveal, and it's like, and that person that was wronged this way that you wouldn't know wants revenge is the person that is the alien that you like a lot. And it's like, oh no. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about our own work. The stuff that we brought in. Liam, why don't you go first?
Yeah. Why don't I go first?
What'd you bring for us today? Liam?
I brought a short introduction to a possible story about the nature of time travel in a particular universe.
It's more of a setting, right?
Yeah.
Like a setting introduction.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it as well.
But I feel
Liam, why don't you introduce it? Tell us what it is.
All right. It's just it's like a treatise on the three basic levels that paradoxes can be. One at the personal, one at the like civilization changing, mm-hmm. and then one at the universe changing. And they're all interconnected, and that's kind of the big joke.
And all of them were kind of unavoidable, self-fulfilling
yes.
paradoxes.
I liked it very much. But the trap of trying to write humorous time travel, and you just fall into the Douglas Adams hole.
I don't think that's a bad thing. I think
it's
Douglas
a bad thing
Adams
when you're trying
right
to write, and then you just look at it and you're like, oh, you know what I mean?
No.
I too felt it was like Douglas Adams, but in a good way. But it was Douglas Adams like, except you had your own voice.
Yeah.
So,
no, definitely, it's your own thing.
But yeah. My thing is like I said before, I feel like it's the greatest intro.
No, you didn't. You never said it before.
Yes, I did.
Never said it before.
I never heard it.
It's like the greatest intro to the funniest time travel story. Like this is, you've set up the rules. This is the world it's going into. Now who mm-hmm. are we about to follow? Like mm-hmm. like who's going to break these rules? Like,
I love
how's it going to come.
Jamie Pendergast.
Ooh, good name.
I love the tone.
Yeah. I quite enjoyed it.
Pendergast, isn't that the name of the kid from Paranorman?
No.
Norman Pendergast? Isn't it something like that?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Retraction.
That's correction.
Preemptive retraction.
Racking it up. I enjoyed it. I would like a story based on it. I really like the first paradox.
Pulling a Conway? Was that it?
Yeah, pulling a Conway. When the dude went back in time.
And the whole thing is, if you bring that up, someone has to pull a Conway later, and then be like, oh, bro, you pulled Conway, all right.
Or rather, like, somebody's having a really hard time with something, you don't know why it's so weird, and then you're like, oh, he's pulling a Conway. He's doing it right now, he just doesn't know it, and I can't tell him, or else he won't have pulled the Conway, and then it'll be a paradox.
He will cease to exist.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep.
Well, did you have any idea where you were?
That's my
were
story. No, none at all.
Even if you're going to continue
the,
it even?
I might. The whole idea that came up is I always wanted to write a story that just follows people who wanted to end all of existence, and not for any like super malicious reasons. They're like, oh, we're going to like rule the universe. They want to stop existing so bad they have to wipe everything out.
They want to have never existed.
Yeah.
I like your theme of, oh yeah, but you're still going to have existed.
Yeah.
So you're still existing.
Yeah. And they just, that infuriates them. I liked that. That was the original idea was that.
I would love a Hitchhiker's Guide to Time Travel.
Yeah.
I think that's what this feels like.
I would like a Liam time travel because I like Liam's humor.
Right.
I don't. I hate my humor.
I hate it too.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate when you laugh.
So we're just packing
I have
in.
A weird giggle. It's awful. It's a really bad giggle that
no,
I do not enjoy.
It's my favorite because it happens every episode.
It's true. It does happen every episode. So what about you, Doug? What'd you bring in?
I brought in extended as compared to last time, outline for the screenplay for The Planet Without Christmas, which was inspired by the trailer that we created
a beautiful movie concept.
Yes,
please
yes.
Tell us more.
Well, as you remember, it's a sci-fi story about in the distant future when mankind has reached the stars and they've colonized all these other planets across the galaxy. Our hero is a delivery man who makes a delivery on this planet, and he's on his way back home, you know, trying to get home in time for the holidays. He has engine trouble, and he makes an emergency landing on this planet that has a small colony, and they've never celebrated Christmas. And
ever.
And he just decides to bring it to them. I did a little bit more world building on on this little colony, and what they're doing there, what kind of problems they have.
What's their industry?
Right now, because originally we talked about them being farmers, but I'm like, well, farming, why would you go to a distant planet just to farm? But then we talked about if they're miners, if they're like mining some material, what I end up coming up with is they're mining a fictional material called uranium.
It's like one element higher than unobtainium.
We'll just say yes.
Uranium.
Uranium.
Yeah. So it's like an ore.
Because I didn't know if it was an ore, like it's a metal ore, it needs like an anium, like corbomite or unobtainium sound.
Uranium.
So it's uranium. The explanation is that uranium is a very rare metal that's naturally occurring on other planets, and by itself it doesn't really do much, but when you mix it with chromium and iron, you can make like a new alloy that's
like a new stainless steel,
like a super stainless steel that could use to create warp drive engines. So it's really valuable is the point. Valuable and rare. But the story goes as backstory for why the colony's there and why they haven't celebrated Christmas is that the colony was founded 50 years ago by people who wanted to get on this planet and start getting uranium. And at first it was just on the surface. You could just like walk and find it. Their little colony grew and people were doing pretty well. But after a while...
But still no Christmas.
Yeah.
The children have picked it all up by hand.
Well, they didn't know how long they're going to be there. They're just going to be there for as long as they could find uranium. And everything was working great at first. But the problem is that this planet, the orbit is so huge. It's like 10 years for one solar like rotation. So they have a different time schedule than we do. And you kind of fall out of sync with the rest of society. And pretty soon, all that topsoil uranium was gone. And they have to start digging. And they have to bring in machines. And before you know it, they're working so hard and just trying to make ends meet that they don't really have time for celebrations and stuff.
Sounds like they need a union because they have the most valuable substance in the universe.
They're the only people on the planet.
It's kind of prospectors. Basically, it's a planet full of prospectors. And this is the future, so they're not out there with a pickaxe. Like, they're out there, they have survey drones that just go around looking for stuff. Like, you have to have eyes on it. You can't, detect it.
But they need a better deal overall.
What do you mean better deal?
They should just sell this for more money and work less.
I think the idea is that they're probably going to do fine, but they have to stay there.
Yeah. You can't sell the planet. No one owns the planet.
Well, imagine if you were like a prospector and you found
Let me imagine.
Okay. You find a giant gold vein, you're going to have a hard time digging out all that gold, but you don't have a raw deal. You know what I mean? It's just hard.
Sure tootin'.
I would enjoy myself more with a gold vein, though.
Yeah, you'd knock out a few teeth and go,
But now imagine you mine that vein and you did make some money, but now you know there's more gold around, but you can't find it. So more people, you start working together. The idea is that this community, at first it was kind of like all individual, like they were all like prospectors, just everybody was winning. But then suddenly they realize, oh man, maybe there's not that much left deep in the ground. Maybe it was just sort of like a meteorite maybe hit or something, and maybe we've gone through all of it. So the focus has shifted on this colony from the humans working hard to just mining it to now the humans are just working hard just to survive, like just with planting crops. Like most of them are farmers now. So the robots are doing like the drones and these automated mining machines are just going out there digging all day and they're not really finding anything. But the humans are living, low class, comfortable, I suppose, where it's like, like I said, they're mostly turned into farmers now and they're just like school, like they're running schools for kids and everything. But they're just hoping that one of the survey drones is going to find a new deposit and they're going to strike it rich, but it just hasn't happened. And they haven't found they'll find little bits here and there to keep the colony going, but nothing substantial. So they're really running out of spirit to keep going. Like it's getting to a point where it's like it's been maybe like 12 years since they've really found something good.
It sounds like they need Christmas.
Well, they need something to raise
Christmas
their spirits.
Will fix all their problems.
And the world building that I did was also that if each household has like they bring a drone with them and they're like, okay, well, normally this is for you're the prospector, that's your drone, whatever you find you keep. But now times are so desperate, everyone just agrees, hey, let's all send out our drones together and just blanket, like, you know, like have a line formation and just go out and search further than we did yesterday. And each house has like a drone chute, so, like the drone to come back, return, see if it finds anything. This little drone chute will be like the fireplace, if you will, of
what if our
the chimney,
ooh, our yes, hero, ooh, helps them
is a drone
find.
That's the thing. That's
the big
one
thing of uranium,
right? And
that's the third act, right? When they're delivering presents.
Because the third act was like, okay, they deliver presents, but you know, what's the problem? Like, you know, the time problem is obviously a thing, but like, what's the worst that could happen if he doesn't reach every house? He just doesn't reach every house. That's not so bad. So the third act now is he's rushing around and he's trying to deliver the presents, and there's a miscalculation with the amount of energy that he had stored up in the shuttlecraft, and they have to make an emergency landing, and the emergency landing crashes. He crashes the shuttlecraft onto like a mountainside, and it's like, well, shit, looks like, you know, the adventure's over, because how do you come back from this? And but when they're on the mountainside, the end is, now I've mixed it to where it's the mechanic who helps him the entire time, he gets his help to deliver the present. So it's like the two of them. It's like a twofer, like two-handed.
But then they find uranium?
Yeah, when they crash on this mountainside, they find like basically like half the mountain is uranium.
Spoiler.
And the reason why you couldn't have detected it before is because it's like a snow-capped mountain that's like year-round covered or whatever. Oh. And the drones can only like go by sight. So they can't, unless you want to have a drone land and take a sample, but then you'll never get surveys done, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like a realistic reason why they may have missed something this big, and so it's like the Christmas miracles that, okay, they crashed, we're gonna have to make these last delivery on foot, but we can save the town, we can still save the colony, and it's gonna be the best Christmas ever.
I think it's a great ending.
Can't wait to see it.
But yeah,
I'm looking forward to an even more detailed outline.
But yeah, like the actual details of scene by scenes are only about halfway through the film. I'm running into creative difficulties with what the protagonist, the antagonist. The antagonist is a good person, but he wants him to leave. I can't really think of a really great reason why they would want him to leave or not bring Christmas.
Space jingoism.
I think for a Christmas
Have you ever
movie,
seen the movie The Postman?
Years ago.
The sheriff of the town wants the postman to leave because he's bringing hope to people who do not need hope because nothing is going to get better.
Right.
And it sounds like you could use the sheriff from The Postman in your story.
I had a similar thought about that, but it's just like,
it needs,
why?
For a Christmas movie, it needs to be somebody whose mind can be changed by the end of the film. Like, he doesn't need to be defeated.
Well, in The Postman, converted. The Postman brings the sheriff a letter from his sister, and that changes his mind about the goodness of the post office.
Well, there you go.
But it's like,
so a letter from his space sister.
But why would a colonist who's there to hopefully help, you know, his fellow colonists say, you're giving these people hope. Fuck you. Let them die. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I can't think of
Well, like, false hope. Like, what are you going to do next year? Are you going to be back next year?
Well, I think the idea is that they think they're going to have to pull up roots and leave.
Right. I've heard that idea as well. It's like that maybe the secret is that this is the mayor of the colony. And he was like, listen, man, you're giving these people hope. They're going to want to stick it out. I didn't get a chance to tell them yet because you arrived very suddenly. We have to pull up roots. That we were kidding ourselves. Like,
I have to break the news to them.
Yeah, like, I have to break the news to them. And now I can't do it. And now they're celebrating Christmas. We don't have money. We don't have presents. We don't have food. But we barely have enough to take care of ourselves. Now they want to have a Christmas party and a Christmas parade and all this stuff that they remembered when they were kids back on Earth. And we you know, you're killing us. You don't know it, but it's already a hard winter. You're making it that much more difficult for us. You need to just leave. And that's the other thing too, is that he's like, he should just say, okay, I plan to leave to go home to my family anyway. So why would he want to stick around too long to bug them? But yeah.
Spirit of Christmas?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because kids, right? So like, there's got to be a kid that's like,
yeah, like the kid,
a plucky kid.
Yeah. You're just going to leave, mister?
Right. But he has two kids of his own, you know? So like,
yeah, but he hates them.
Like all fathers.
No, I would say, yeah, but they're well off. They're better off than these kids.
Yeah. Right. I feel like I'm close to figuring out like that last middle second act bit of it before we get to the fun stuff of the
I have faith in you, Doug.
So. I do as well.
Thank you.
Believe in me who believes in you.
What about you, Max?
I brought in a poem.
Yes.
A long poem.
Well,
he has way longer.
It's 8 pages. It's about
He said it was a short poem and compared to the Iliad.
Yes.
It is a short poem.
I felt like writing a long poem one day at work when I was working at a grocery store getting carts. So I started writing a poem while I was getting carts. It's about a man named Supersonic.
It's a good name.
And he grows...
It was the second choice for my own child.
Hydroponic crops in space, which are highly sought after by other people in space.
Mm-hmm. And the crops are marijuana.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Well, no. Actually, cannabis.
Now, did you mean for that to be like a twist at the end?
No.
Because as soon as you said the king packed his bowl, I'm like, all right, I see
what totally. No, totally, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking it's just regular farmland. Like, he has the only satellite full of, like, arable farmland.
No, because then everyone would be dead, and there wouldn't be a trillion people in, like,
yeah, galaxy, no, true. You know? True.
No, he just makes really good weed.
Makes the dankest weed.
People want it, and the king...
It's like you made a poem about space Breaking Bad with marijuana.
He's like a space... I wanted to write about a space wizard who grows space weed. Right. So I did. And the king of Earth really, really wants it, and he starts killing anyone who he thinks has it to get it. And... You know, the guy doesn't like that. Supersonic's like, nope, I don't like that. So he gives in to the king and gives him everything he wants.
Except for he doesn't.
Except for he doesn't.
Except for it's explosives.
It's explosives.
It was bombs
from
the whole
Neptune.
Time.
And he blows them up. And then everyone's happy and he goes back to growing space weed. But he doesn't grow enough for everyone. It just gets to you when it gets to you.
Right. You gotta wait for that good space weed.
Yeah.
You think
the good.
If he actually gave the space weed to the king, he would have chilled out.
No, because he would have just wanted more and more and more.
Mm. Weed is highly addictive, and
he killed
habit forming.
Terrible.
He killed
withdrawals.
A billion people.
That is true.
To get it,
yeah,
it's for like a pound of it. So
yeah. I liked it. I thought it was funny.
Yeah,
I hate it.
Oh,
sorry. I'm surprised the guy who wrote that hated Snow Crasher so much.
Yeah. Liam.
I think it just glorifies drug culture, and like you shouldn't do that. Because it's bad.
And weed breeds violence, clearly.
Oh, definitely. Colorado has proven that.
It's true.
Very much so.
No, I liked it. I think it's good. I think it could use a lot of work on the rhythm for certain lines. Like some words need to be added or removed to maintain the pace.
Also, you need to start using kennings, bro.
What's the word? The meter? It needs to retain the meter.
You need to use what?
Kennings.
Oh.
I don't know what that is.
Kennings is, in Norse poetry, they almost... never refer to the same person by the same name.
Oh,
so
okay.
You have multiple names, and they're all called Kennings.
Mm.
I get that.
Because I'm just saying, you said supersonic in that poem a lot.
Although when I read it aloud, it was really fun to say supersonic that many times.
It's about the experience, Liam.
He needs more names. Space Wizard needs more names.
So what I brought in this week was the second draft of the short film that I'm making for a friend of ours. It's mostly similar to the previous week, except for it has a lot more focus on Sadie's perspective once Sadie becomes Hassan the Stone. And I removed the explanation for things. Also, Sadie can only not speak in her native language when she tries really hard, and she's the only one who even attempts that. Everybody else is subtitled. What do you guys think?
I liked it better than the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an improvement.
A lot more condensed, I like.
Okay. Yeah, it's like two pages, or like a page and a half shorter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The black soot in everyone's face made it easier to keep track of like what was going on visually.
Mm-hmm.
Even though similar thing pretty much happened in the first draft, but for whatever reason, I felt it was much easier to follow like who was helping who got the soot in their face, who suddenly turned bad.
Who was possessed.
Yeah, who was possessed. I think we talked before about the cutting of the face.
Mm-hmm. That was the original thing I was using for it.
In this one, it's like the creepy cut patterns being like that's like the leader and everyone else has got like the black soot face.
Right.
It was creepy. Mm-hmm. It was good. It was effective.
Okay. My goal for the leader, which I didn't really get into, was that I want her to feel a little bit more like Pinhead from Hellraiser, because there's so many good moments. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Hellraiser, but when Pinhead is first introduced, the main character, the girl Christy, I think her name is pulled back and like one of the Cenobites, Chatterer, puts his fingers in her mouth so she can't talk. Pinhead walks up to her and wipes a tear from her cheek, and he goes, "No tears, please. Such a waste of good suffering." But it's so emotionless and ominous. Like that's kind of what I want for Brinley at the end when she becomes...
My thing is the satisfaction of Pat dying wasn't there as much.
Right. Because you don't hate her as much.
Yeah. I really hated her in the first one, and seeing her dead was great. So maybe bring that back a little bit.
Now, I talked to Malachi, the guy who I'm working with on this one, and he and Malachi didn't realize that the characters were speaking in subtitles the whole time. He had a hard time tracking that because I used a kind of a little less obvious way of managing the subtitles, where the characters would speak in subtitles and they were italicized, but it said they were in subtitles. And from then on, whenever they were speaking not in English,
it was just italicized.
It was italicized.
No, I picked that up.
Okay. One of the problems that that I faced is that the character Pat, when she's supposed to take Mike's hand after Sadie tells her it's okay, Malachi didn't believe that would happen, that Pat would actually do that. You know, she'd be like, "Screw you, I'm not doing this." What do you guys think? I can totally see where he's coming from.
Well, I can see that based on like the previous draft, especially where she was just like, "Fuck this," you know, like, "Fuck the fucking woods," you know, like someone who's already so unhappy, then people start murdering each other, and it's just like, "I want to get out of here," you know.
Well, I think the human brain is just like, she would be so terrified that she would want, her brain would make her believe that it was going to be okay. Like, you rationalize so much in that kind of situation where you're like, "No, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." Because that's the only thing you can think about. So if someone was like, "No, it's going to be okay," I think she would be like, her brain would make her believe that it was going to be okay.
Do you think if I put her, if I kind of illustrated her inner conflict about taking Mike's hand, that would be a little easier to swallow?
Yes. Or even just the whole thing, she's like, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay."
Right. And then Mike stabs her.
Yeah.
So then maybe she just doesn't have to take Mike's hand. Like, maybe Mike just sort of just like steps aside and she just walks that way. It doesn't have to like be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't like that.
I was thinking about that, you know, too. I think the problem that I'm facing, because I tried to draft what was like that. The problem that I'm facing is that the act of taking somebody's hand is so symbolic of trust that there's no real equivalent. You know what I mean? For that kind of betrayal. Once
what about a trust fall?
Like, he's gonna give you a trust fall.
He's gonna prove to you that this is
an ancient alien Native American that understands the concept of trust fall.
No, because trust falls are universal.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, they do that in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. That was the whole point of pyramids, actually.
Elaborate, just, please.
Well, they had so many steps; they would just line up people, and then they would do trust fall domino, and the person at the end would catch the whole village.
The person at the end would be shot into the Nile River.
like tiddlywinks.
Yeah. The person at the end would catch the whole village, and then they would come together as a people.
Okay. I'll buy that. I mean, that matches the archaeological record.
Well, come on.
But yeah, I didn't...
I have a bachelor's degree in history.
Wow, a whole bachelor's?
It didn't bug me.
I didn't even notice it until you mentioned it. Now I'm kind of like, yeah, maybe you could sand that down.
That could also be an actor decision, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. It's
a lot of notes I got were very much about dialogue and the order of which somebody spoke and how it could be better if it was a different order. And I agreed with a lot of them. I just at the time when I was hearing the feedback, I was just like, well, you know, a lot of that I think could come out in editing. Like, try it six ways. You know.
Yeah. My only thing was like, for a local short film, you focus on the effects of the Milky Way a lot.
Yeah,
but that's not really a writing thing; more of like a movie making thing.
Yeah, it'll be an After Effects thing. Well, the reason why I did that is because I know Malachi has been experimenting.
Oh, he can actually. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's been primarily experiencing with what is it? The smoke tank?
The cloud tank.
Yeah, the cloud tank
effect and milk and yeah.
Yeah, oh, and it looks great. He's done a lot of experimentation with that and with creating galactic like scenery with plates and backgrounds and pollen and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
So that's one of the things I wanted to feature in it, just because I thought about that. But do you think it works as a visual, like a
Definitely.
Visual kit?
Yeah.
Okay.
The one thing I think I said before was after like the first scene, like around the campfire, before Brinley starts running back, like we in this one shot, we see her get up and leave, and then they say, "Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful night." Immediately cut to Brinley running through the forest, like the shit's already hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggested another cut, like maybe cut to the sky, just establish what the normal sky looks like. Because you even have the line, Pat says, "Oh, not everyone looks up," and Pat says, "Not a cloud."
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In the sky, and we don't see it.
Malachi gave me a very similar note.
And so, but that's really the only thing. That also bridges a sort of gap where you don't know how much time has passed since mm-hmm. you cut to Brinley running. You're like, has it been an hour? Has it been 5 minutes? And so it's like, I'm reinterested again. And then it's whatever. Whereas when it cut before that, without any other wherever, literally in the same shot, we see her walk away, then just cut to she's running. It's like, it was just a little jarring the first time I read it.
Okay.
But since I had read another draft, I knew what was happening. But I'm trying to picture it like in a screen in my head mm-hmm. and visually. Trying to see that happen was like a little weird.
One of the challenges I ran into is that I really wanted the story to be from Pat's perspective, Sadie's perspective, the moment that Sadie gets possessed. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard to do that without camera talk. And I feel like this is one of the instances where I really should have used camera talk.
Well, you can because you're speaking directly with the person who's going to film it.
Yes, but also I think even if I wasn't, mm-hmm. it would be more helpful.
Yeah,
because there's things like where you're not using it as a crutch. You're just like, listen, this is from over the shoulder of Sadie. She's watching this unfold, like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It would be much more indicative of the final product. But I shied away from it because of the bullshit screenwriting rules that everybody thinks are inviolable. You know,
I'd just say go for it, and if it doesn't work, take it out later.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I think in your case, it would actually might even help.
Yeah, I think specifically in this instance, it would make it more clear of how this is supposed to look.
Because it's a short that you plan on filming, yeah. And so the closer you can get it ready for production, like the better it'll be for you guys.
The hard thing will be finding actresses. Finding actors, I mean, guys are friends with tons of guys. You know, you're going to find at least one person who can fulfill each male role.
I'll die in a heartbeat.
I'll do it right now. Fuck it. Yeah. But finding actresses who are interested will be difficult.
Yeah. Just put in an ad, be like, hey, ladies, you want to go out in the woods?
Do you want to go out in the woods to pretend to be a weak person and then a really strong person? that'll be interesting. Yeah, that's what I brought in.
Me and my friend want to film you in the woods.
Yeah, do you want to go in the woods with a bunch of guys and pretend to die?
So I've also been working on the chaptered outline of my novel, the Malcolm Hatt script, mm-hmm. and I want to turn that in next week. But I've got probably a version of it that's ready to turn in. But I'll turn that in next week to you guys, and then I'll start working on it chapter by chapter, so you guys get actual prose.
Cool.
But right now I've got 35 chapters worth. I'm gonna try to pare that down to less chapters, maybe 30 at max, and build scene by scene until it's a complete story.
Your writing style still is.
Yeah, it's still mystifying. It's still it looks like kanji and Tetris to me.
So at this point in the recording, we lost a lot of audio where we found out which genre of bad story trailer we were going to record. The roles we got gave us the genres of Western, Planet and Sword, and Detective Story. So the discussion you're hearing now is after we've established those genres. Enjoy.
All right. So is the cowboy a detective, or is he a cowboy who goes to a detective?
Or is there a cowboy and a detective on another planet,
and they
buddy
go
cop
else.
Style?
Buddy cop. I was thinking, what if the...
I think you guys are taking the cowboy thing a little too literally, because it only said Western,
yeah.
Which does not...
What if he's a cowboy who goes to a planet of detectives, and the detective...
I want a cowboy so bad.
They're trying to figure out how to send him back, because he's such a dick.
A cowboy
won't stop
that
shooting
goes to
things.
A distant planet already happened. It was called Princess of Mars.
Right, like, yeah. There's a man from Virginia.
Yeah. So...
No, but he's such a dick
prospector.
That the whole detective story is trying to figure out how to send him back to his planet because everyone hates him.
I'm leaning more towards the idea of like because we have to mix these, right?
Yeah.
It can't
yeah.
be all things to all people all at the same time. So instead of Sword and Planet, why not Six Shooter and Planet?
Yeah.
And then the detective ends up there.
Well, I think that's fine. I think so what if they've like just discovered like the revolver?
Right.
And they're like really heavy. But this guy has used a revolver on Earth. Mm-hmm. And
screw that. Dude, he just has a .45. Yeah. He's like,
It could just be. What's more interesting? A modern detective going to an old west planet of aliens, or a cowboy detective era, like a sheriff going to that time?
I think a modern detective.
Monk, yeah,
Monk goes back to an old west planet. And he just freaks out.
And nobody, everything's so dirty.
Yeah.
And Tony Shalhoub is like,
he shoots himself in the brain.
So I'm thinking modern.
The revolver
detective
exists for suicide. Yeah. It's like, that's it.
So modern detective goes to the Knights of Cydonia music video.
Right.
And fuck shit up.
Is that a thing that exists?
So let's think about this planet. Where is this planet? Alpha Centauri. That's an easy sci-fi sounding location.
What's the
It's in the Crab Nebula.
No. Yeah. What's the galaxy that's spiraling our way?
Andromeda.
It's in Andromeda.
Andromeda is five times the size of ours.
Yeah. Somewhere in Andromeda.
Okay. So it goes
to
the
eat us.
It goes to a planet in the Andromeda galaxy that has just discovered the revolver, but they have robots.
How do they have robots if they just discovered the
Why not?
Because robotics wasn't implied in the genres. It's just sword and
planet. Electric motors made complete sense in them. Combustion seemed stupid.
Okay. Well, let's think. So the planet is
because the idea is sword and planet was implying that it wasn't very advanced. But if we take the Western aspect and apply it to that, it's not far enough advanced for robotics, but yet it has that Western theme.
So sword and planet. All right. What if it's it's an alien landscape. Mm-hmm. Everybody's fundamentally non-humanoid.
Let's just take it like 2 seconds to wipe John Carter out of our brains.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Let's that desert planet. Whatever.
Yeah, I just finished Princess of Mars, and it's too great.
Yeah,
it is too good.
So I'm thinking original series Trek background atmosphere where lush, it's like those rocks green. That kind of
right.
Weird let's rock formation.
Lush green jungle planet.
Okay, and a murder happens on this planet, and the people look like lizards, maybe?
Excellent. Yes,
lizard
lizards
people.
Are good? Everybody cool with lizards?
Yes, yeah. Lizards. Right.
Mm-hmm. So lizards.
Do they, like, sleep sack?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they totally Drop do.
It. I saw this Vine that was like, hey, look, a snake charmer. And he plays like a flute for 2 seconds and he goes, snake, you looking fine as hell. and then he pops his own head out of a basket and goes, job. Something like that.
Excellent. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I want.
So lizard people on this planet, jungle planet specifically, and one of them has died mysteriously, and this guy's there, and they've kept him caged up, and he's like, I can solve this murder.
I'm a great detective where I come from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, is there like tribes going to go to war and stuff, or is this like...
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, no, because then it would be politically motivated.
That's Sword and Planet.
That is going to Sword and Planet, but like solving one
So
random...
lizard people versus bird people.
Yeah!
Because it's like, because if it's just
bird
one asshole
person
death,
approves.
Like, you know, who cares if one person was murdered on this planet where death happens every day. But if it's like, no, our king was murdered,
yeah, the
you
chief.
Know, or something, yeah.
When I hear bird people, I just think of Flash Gordon. And
Gordon's alive?
Birdman. Ming the Merciless.
I just think of bird person.
Yeah.
So bird people. Because here's the thing. Like with a John Carter epic hero story, that's one thing. But we're talking detective story.
Yeah.
So it's like there's definitely a crime that was someone was wronged, and it's about solving the crime, not about leading them to battle.
Okay. So there's a.
It's averting the war.
To stop
so,
the war.
So he's captured by lizard people, mm-hmm. who are like the more barbaric of mm-hmm. the two. Mm-hmm. And the bird people are a little more civilized.
Mm-hmm. Like the Klingon versus Vulcan sort of thing?
Yeah, but...
You mean Romulans?
Or Romulan in this case. Yeah, you're right. Romulan more in this
But
case.
A bird... But one of their people has been murdered. Mm-hmm. But it turns out it was... They think it was by a family member of the chief. Mm-hmm. So it was like the chief was murdered. They think it was by the family member. Turns out it was bird espionage.
Mm-hmm. Bird espionage.
How would the war... Wouldn't it be... Espionage. They think it was a bird person? So they're going to go to war?
Avian espionage.
Wouldn't that make more sense for a... struggle between two people.
Did we just write Ace Ventura when nature calls on another planet?
Shikaka.
So they think bird people killed this relative of their king and they're going to go to war with the bird people. And he does his Wild West detective thing.
Mm-hmm. And finds out it's another lizard person.
Wait, what was the number for Western?
40. Well, oh, sorry. 41 was Sword and Planet. And then
41,
we had
100.
100 and
then
95. 95, yeah.
It says Western, not Wild West.
Right. That's what we said, Western.
Yeah. We're not trying to make a Wild West.
So we could do like Brokeback Mountain Western too, like goat farmers and stuff.
That's a love story, not a Western.
That's a romance. Oh, it's tragedy as well. By the way, that's a really great movie. If any of you, if you guys haven't seen Brokeback Mountain,
the setting is often described because of the richly premise, and in you need depth. To see it. Mm-hmm. It is very setting based, untamed wilderness.
There's an untamed wilderness.
Yeah. I'm just setting up Western because.
So okay, so basically, Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls, except for not a comedy.
And no,
no
jokes.
No Watutus versus.
Yeah,
it's just that there was a murder that happened, and now they're gearing up to go to war. So so the Western influence can be the level of technology that they're at.
Yes.
The kind of jails they have.
Yeah.
Bird people have Western technology.
Right.
What if a bird person is murdered by what they think is a lizard person? So they're going to go to war, and then he's averting.
So he's captured by the lizard people, but then the birds are like, "You killed
somebody," and he's like, "I'm going to get to the bottom of this."
And they're like, "Well, no, you're just going to say we killed him. We didn't kill him. We didn't kill him." And then he's like, "I can investigate. I'm
a neutral
third party." Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
because he finds out. He looks at the body. He's like,
"Oh, and who really killed him?
This guy was shot.
A pig person."
Mind blown.
You didn't even know there were pig people on this planet.
You are the mimic of pig people.
It's like the Val
Kilmer. Mole people, they come up out of the ground like, finally, our day will come.
Val Kilmer classic.
They'll destroy themselves.
All right, so what do we call this film?
Give us like 3 minutes to think.
Concrete Jungle.
Here's something to consider. Is our main hero, he's the detective. Is he like police detective or is he private
He's
eye?
Gumshoe.
I think he's just outside source.
He's Gumshoe. Yeah, he's Gumshoe.
Private eye?
Yeah.
Private eyes don't really solve murders, though.
They could.
Can we call it?
They do.
Gunshoe?
No. Mm.
That's not relevant enough.
But he's a Gumshoe with a gun.
Does that have to be a pun?
Murder most foul.
No, it doesn't have to be.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's a good pun. A murder most foul.
Can't do that. Dude, if we do that, it's going to turn into a comedy.
That's great. Murder most foul.
I'm really happy with myself right now.
That was a good one. I'll give you that one, man. Yeah. That's great.
Give me points on that. But it's what if it needs to be something.
Two brownie points.
Something. It needs like a pulpy title of. Because it needs to have a pulpy title because of the sword and planet influence, but also the detective influence.
Something like In the Old West or something.
Something about like a case or something.
Oh, wow.
So we've got a choice between murder most foul.
No, it's not a real choice.
And what's the...
We need like a pulpy, snappy, like what would a detective explain that situation? Like
The Darkness Between the Stars?
That sounds like something that's already existed.
Yeah.
I swear that sounds like...
Is it? I'm going to look it up right now.
This is awful, but something like death in the Andromeda Galaxy or something, like the case of the something.
No.
The case of the missing Vectron.
Every planet has a west.
Let's see here. So
Western skies.
Yeah, Western space. Cowboy detective and space cowboys.
Sure.
Yes.
The human who landed on another planet and was forced to solve a murder. Yeah.
Two.
Yeah, the sequel. Okay, so there's a book called The Dark Between the Stars by Kevin J. Anderson.
How I Landed on a Planet and Solved a Murder Case, Stopping a War Between Bird People and Lizard People.
A true story.
How I Learned
IP Freely.
Yeah.
I learned
to trust myself.
PI Freely.
How I Learned to stop worrying about the bird people and love the lizard people.
Yes. It's called Lizard Stockholm Syndrome.
How about the Wings of Space?
Moida.
I think you're on the right. You're on the right track.
The
Scales of Justice, because they're lizard people.
God, no, I like that. I like that. I'm with it.
It's a detective. It's a detective though. It's not. It's not. Not.
But he's
not a
doing getting
thing.
Justice.
Yeah, but it's.
And they've got scales.
What about
He's got to solve this crime, otherwise they're going to kill him probably, and it's going to stop a war too. So.
What about?
Oh, dude. Oh no. What would they? How would they describe this human? Like the man with the 45, or the man, like the guy from another star, or the detective?
The man with no scales and no feathers.
Yeah.
Freak.
The naked man.
The featherless bird.
Freak of nature.
The featherless bird.
Oh, the naked gun.
Justice of the Naked Man from Beyond the Stars.
How about Naked Justice?
No.
It's like Naked Lunch.
There's two things wrong with that title.
Something with nests, birds, and
no,
lizards.
No, stop thinking that. No, go
I
pulp.
I just want puns.
Go pulp. No,
like
we're
pulp.
Out of puns.
I like
there
puns
already
better than pulp.
Hey, guys. Got some bad news. Now, we lost a lot of audio doing this recording, and we lost the end of the discussion of us naming the trailer, which is A Dark Light Year. And we lost the end part of the actual recording of the trailer. So what you're going to hear is me acting out the extra parts that got lost in recording with much shittier audio quality at the end of the trailer. So I apologize in advance, but hey, this is free.
Detective Richard Anderson was scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Richard, I need you to follow my wife again. I think she's cheating on me.
I followed her the past 6 weeks in a row. She's cheating on you. Listen, I know you got some weird thing going on wanting these pictures. Just leave me out of it from now on, huh?
But when a strange artifact lands him on a distant planet, his demographic shifts dramatically.
Pink creature, are you reptile or avian?
Neither. I'm human. I'm human.
Yes, but are you a reptile human or an avian human?
Neither.
When a murder threatens the fragile truce between reptile and avian kind, Detective Anderson's qualifications show their value.
The Emperor's hatchling is dead, and we know the lizards are to blame.
Defamation! We've honored our truce.
What honor does a lizard have? You will have a hard time proving that here.
Hold on. I can find out the truth.
You, an alien?
And why should we trust you, pink one?
Because I ain't got a dog, bird, or iguana in this fight.
But what he finds leads him to a darker truth.
The murderer escaped through this hole in the ceiling of the nursery.
What are you implying?
Tell them, alien man.
The murderer escaped through the top window. Reptilians can't fly.
Follow the twists and turns beyond space in A Dark Light Year.
This is a murder most foul.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so that was the episode proper. Episode 5. Talk about Star Wars. We're going to talk about
Episode 7.
Yeah, Episode 7, The Force Awakens. And there's going to be a lot of spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie, please don't finish this episode until you have.
And if you have, message us with all of your Star Wars-ness.
All your theories.
Everything now, you hate about what we're about to say.
Now, I think I interrupted a story that I was telling where I was in theaters
about your
with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was in the theaters with my mom.
Let's hear about your mom.
She likes Poe Dameron. And when he supposedly may have died, but you don't know. And then he shows up in the X-Wing and the X-Wings show up and then it cuts the inside of the lead X-Wing.
Like,
and
follow my lead, boys.
Yeah, follow my lead. My mom like elbowed me in the side like, he's back. I was like, oh, okay, cool. You like him. Great. But yeah, that movie was a Star Wars movie for people who
like Star Wars movies.
No, I think for people who... people were thinking that the prequels were going to be for the movie, like, oh, it's a new generation of Star Wars fans. These are going to be for them. It's like, no, this is a great intro for people who haven't seen anything for Star Wars. But my mom had seen Star Wars. She loves Harrison Ford.
I love Harrison Ford.
Poe Dameron also has my favorite line in the entire movie.
The opening?
Yeah, the opening.
Yeah.
Who talks now? Do I talk now?
Who goes first?
Are you here with that mess?
Do you think it's
so funny?
Do you think it's a coincidence or intentional that the very first spoken line of dialogue is Max von Sydow saying, "This will hopefully make things right"?
people arguing about that online. You know what? The answer is I don't give a shit.
I'm just curious. Because I'm just throwing it out there.
Because I have an answer to that question. Yes.
Because I want George Lucas to feel bad every day.
The moment I saw that Max von Sydow was in the movie, I was like, oh, great!
Like he belongs.
I love Max von Sydow.
And
he's
then
dead.
He dies.
Yeah, well, Max von Sydow doesn't die, but that character does.
No. He got cut with a lightsaber. Pretty sure he's dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Max von Sydow is fucking amazing.
Also, that is a perfect Star Wars name already.
Yeah.
Max von Sydow. Yeah. I loved him as King Osric in Conan. That's one of my favorite scenes in any movie, even though Conan is like...
His performance...
Oh, it's amazing. Is, he's so good.
It's a master class for anyone who considers himself a thespian.
Yeah, it's like, you have to watch Conan where Arnold Schwarzenegger's like...
I dated a thespian once.
I'm going to punch this thing and I'm going to hit it with the sword.
And then I hit the camel. And then
the riddle of steel. but then he's dealing with Max von Sydow and James Earl Jones, who give amazing performances in that film.
Yes.
And, also Doom.
And now both of whom are Star Wars actors.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I used to have a toy dinosaur that had the eyes of James Earl Jones.
What does that mean?
What the hell?
It's the same eyes as James Earl Jones does in Conan.
Oh.
The piercing eyes?
No, the snake eyes for when he... Thulsa Doom.
No, when he's just James Earl Jones' eyes in the movie.
The blue eyes?
Yeah.
He's wearing the contacts?
Which also, like, the Chewbacca figure I had that had Jesus eyes, and that always creeped me out.
Oh.
You were paying attention to your action figure's eyes way more than I ever have.
Just sat there, looked in their eyes.
Yeah.
Tell
me the riddle of steel.
Yes. Do you know the riddle of steel, Thulsa Doom?
Chewbacca didn't.
That is power. So,
but my dad also enjoyed it. I liked the commentary. My dad kept running through the movie, and I'm just like, shh. People are watching the movie, but
I know we're talking about Conan instead of Star Wars, but... Oh. Doug made for me a fan edit.
Well, I didn't make the fan edit.
Sorry.
He
burned a fan edit for me of Conan where the entire movie is done to Manowar. And it's amazing.
Oh, my God.
It's like a two-hour music video.
Oh, it's so good. And it's like edited so that it feels like a music video the whole time. It's really
great. I want to watch that.
It's great. I still got it if you guys want to watch it.
Yeah.
But... Star Wars.
More Star Wars.
Oh. Yeah.
What do you want to talk about now? Villains. Let's start with villains.
My dad was really upset when... Han Solo died, and I had to explain to him that Harrison Ford does not like Star Wars and did not want to be involved in any way.
I was happy that he died because I could tell that Han Solo didn't like Star Wars anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was kind of over the Star Wars.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm going to go
He's
back
like,
to doing
I've been in a lot
thing.
Of wars and stars. I'm kind of...
Bad guys. I love Domhnall Gleeson as the super cartoony Imperial. It was so good.
I was talking to Liam about that. Like, petty bureaucracy is so much scarier to me than like Snoke's evil, because those people are just being paid to press buttons and blow up planets,
and they're totally fine with it.
It's like Snoke's, he has an evil plan, but everyone else is just there for like dental.
No, like, they believe in it though. That's the point. They're raised from birth.
Although I think the moment that sold it for
their
me
job.
Is that is it's more of a Grand Moff Tarkin versus Darth Vader thing.
Yes,
in their younger years, like when Kylo Ren. is reporting to Supreme Leader Snoke and is like, she got away, she did this. And then the general comes up and he's like, the weapon is ready. Yeah. We're doing everything right, unlike this fucking idiot here.
Well, it's,
he's got magic. Yeah. We don't care.
Yeah, mirrors that totally magic. Like, oh, yeah, you're hokey magic. Let me show you the real power of the dark side. And that's this big ass laser we got.
Yeah.
And it works every time.
I think
it totally works every time.
No, it didn't work at the end. Remember that? They blew up the planet.
No, it still worked. It did everything it was supposed to do. It just blew up.
General Hux,
if the rebels hadn't showed up, it would have blown up.
The guy who played General Hux nailed the part. Like, I think it was great, but I wasn't intimidated by him at all. Like,
I wasn't intimidated by
him. Like, I wasn't scared by him or anything like that, just because he was so fanatical. Like, and then they would battle for us. And then I'm like, all right, well, that's fine. But, you know, when the Empire was actually ruling the galaxy and the Millennium Falcon got away, it wasn't like, oh, those blasted rebels. It was more of just like, it's like, all right, well, fire. Shoot them. You know, and here it's like, Commander, one of our stormtroopers is getting away. He's like, well, fire the laser cannons and stop them. Like, he always looks like he's about to cry because, like, they're
like
panicked.
That.
But I don't like that. I'd rather it be like, oh, we're going to crush them. They're pathetic. Like the confidence.
Well, it's another thing where he's not
at the full force of the Empire.
Well, right. I also like that what I liked about that, though, is they both had to report to the same guy.
Right.
Yeah.
That was what was good about it is that you have the seriously scary Kylo Ren, you know, that you've... Luckily, haven't seen his face at this point, you know, and the general reporting at the same time. And Kylo Ren is like, yes, we have not discovered. She got away. It was very difficult. And this guy's like, hello. Yes, everything is going according to plan.
Kylo Ren fucked it up again.
Yes.
I told you not to send him. But no, they're both not as strong as their old movie Imperial counterparts. And I love that.
That's a good point.
Because Grand Moff Tarkin was cold and badass.
Yeah.
Where this guy is like trying to make up for
in
that.
60
by being passionate and whatever.
Yeah. And I'm just really happy to have like a ginger Star Wars character. I was excited about that.
What's great too is if you guys haven't seen Ex Machina, both Oscar Isaac and Domhnall Gleeson are the main characters in that film. And then
I saw it today.
Oh, did you see it today?
Yeah, I watched it then.
What'd you think?
It was pretty creepy.
It's very creepy.
I really liked it, but it was real creepy.
It was a very creepy film.
It's like, what is this? What it means to like? Oh,
so
no.
Far of the films it. I'm seeing, which is not all of them. It's my favorite Oscar Isaac performance.
Llewellyn Davis. Was
I would
really
see
good.
It.
It was really good.
I don't know who that is.
I really liked it.
He's also going to play Apocalypse.
He's Poe Dameron.
Apocalypse.
What?
Poe Dameron is going to was in Inside Llewellyn Davis, and then he's going to play Apocalypse in X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh, that's Poe's real name? Okay.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac.
I just know him as Poe.
Mm-hmm. He was in a punk band in Miami.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What were they called?
I don't remember.
Punk band?
Yeah, Miami punk band. Which would actually be a great Miami punk band name.
With Steve-O. Yeah. So, I really loved Finn as the main character.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed Rey.
And then he wasn't.
Yeah.
I thought Rey was my favorite character.
I liked Rey a lot, but she's way better than Luke Skywalker. I gotta get like that. She's way better, more relatable, more interesting.
She made goggles out of a stormtrooper helmet.
Yeah,
she's Tank Girl. She's living in an AT-AT. Yeah. She is I would watch the whole movie of just her bouncing around Jakku.
Sure, but I'd much prefer the movie of just Poe and Finn
being bros,
jamming around in a stolen TIE fighter. That would be the best Star Wars movie.
Maybe
ever.
Not in a TIE fighter.
They would have to, they would barter up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want them like next to each other so they can hold hands. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole backwards thing is weird.
Speaking of holding hands, there's a big meme about Finn grabbing people that he cares about.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the bromance of Poe.
Yeah, being
and
bros.
Finn. So somebody drew this picture of just Finn carrying Poe. It says, when Finn gets scared, he grabs the people he cares about.
Pose before hose?
Yeah, pose before. Oh, I like that. That's good. I haven't heard that one.
Actually, I posted to the Hangout so all you guys can see.
Where I just made that up.
That shot where Poe smacks Finn on the shoulder while they're walking under the X-Wing.
They're getting ready for the final mission.
And they turn into a panel comic where it just Finn goes, bro. And Poe goes, what's up, bro? Finn says, tell the world we're bros, bro. And then it says, Poe whispers, we're bros. And he goes, bro, why'd you whisper? He goes, because you're my whole world, bro. And it ends on that shot of Finn by himself going, bro.
It's so good.
It's great.
I just want that film.
But there's no character that I just point out and be like, I hate that. That was dumb. That shouldn't have been there. Mm. Everything
except for Maz Kanata.
Maz Kanata
isn't like Maz. Well, the thing is, like Maz, but who cares?
I don't hate her. She just wasn't necessary.
The thing I heard people were mad about, like, oh, Maz, we never heard of her before. Why is she in it?
Who gives a shit?
Never heard of any of these characters.
Han Solo has lived 70 years. He's met more than four people.
He's been to a couple bars.
He's a scoundrel.
I've been to more than one bar.
Yeah.
How come that's you're thinking like, oh, he's 70 years old. He's met more than four people, but I want him in the blood stripe pants. You know, like, why does he have
no, I'm saying, exactly that's like? Not what I was saying. I was saying if there's one thing that he's going to keep, it's the Medal of Honor that he was given from his home planet. You know what
it's
I mean?
The medal he got at the end of Yavin where he's bouncing up and down.
No. This is the medal he was given from Corellia for being badass.
One thing that drives me crazy about the Maz Kanata thing is you're walking to the bar and she's like, he's like, oh, well, you got to be careful. Maz Kanata's an acquired taste. You know, you got to let me do the talking. And he walks in and she just goes, Han Solo. And then she's just like a normal person.
Yeah.
No, but then
like, when he walks in, she's like, oh, I'm going to help you guys. Well, dude, and they're all like, oh, really?
Reason being, apparently, a lot of Maz Kanata had to change, like, because the actress, I can't remember her name.
Lupita Nyong'o.
Apparently, she had difficulty
with the
interacting
mo-cap.
With the mocap, like in giving the performance that she thought it deserved. And they apparently did some last minute rewriting by shuffling things around, reshooting only like reactions and stuff. Yeah. If you notice, she disappears halfway through the movie. Like when she's like, oh, you have a weapon, go.
Yeah.
You don't see her again. And then like, cause originally she was supposed to go back to the, resistance base with them and like just have more stuff to do, but it just wasn't working out.
And the stuff that she's in the film for isn't very good.
Yeah. And like, every line you hear in the trailers is not really even in the film. And even the shot of her handing Leia the lightsaber is not in the film. Mm-hmm. So everything in the trailers you've heard or
she
saw
hand
Maz,
Rey, handing Rey.
Not Rey.
No. In the trailer, she hands it to Leia.
Geez. It's definitely Leia's hand.
It's at the resistance base and she hands it to Leia.
What's interesting is that almost all of her lines were things that you already knew.
Yeah.
Like,
I've seen your eyes before. What?
Where she's just like, oh, you're a man who's afraid. It's like, well, yeah, we know that.
But she wasn't terrible. Like,
no.
Just unnecessary.
And she gave, like, that's my biggest one of the biggest criticisms I had walking out of the movie the first, not walking out of, but after seeing the film the first time, was it didn't have a lot of pathos. Like, it didn't have a lot of you know, thoughts on the Force. It didn't have any of those softer moments that really kind of tie you to the mystical side of it.
I think that's way too much what the shitty prequels went into.
I don't. Well, they did it wrong. Like, they did it wrong. But, like, and
don't
I think
give
they
me
were,
that. Give me action. I'm happy with
it. But they were trying to make up for it with this character of Monster. She's like, I'm no Jedi, but I know the, Force. The Force. And I'm like, then what the fuck do you know? Like, you're not also, a Jedi. And she's like, close your eyes.
Let's
feel it.
Be
I'm
real.
Like, where are you coming from with this?
We're going to get 20 fucking tons of that.
Yeah,
through Luke. We're going. That is coming, man.
And that's what I want.
The thing where I was like, what are we even doing with this character with Maz Kanata was when Rey goes down to the basement and she finds the lightsaber and has one of the best directed flashbacks I've ever seen in a film. Mm-hmm. Like where she has the vision of her in the hallway and she's done really well and with obviously a lot of practical effects and it was very well done. And then Maz comes out and she's like, here's the thing that just happened to you, but I'm going to say it out loud.
Yeah. You had a vision. The saber calls to you. Yeah. It's like, all right.
But that was Luke Skywalker. It's like, no shit. Yeah. We just
I'm happy
saw
that they, if the CGI wasn't working, they didn't put her in. Because can you imagine her in that battle scene if they just totally Yoded her where she's jumping around fighting stormtroopers?
Yeah. Actually, the other rumor is that she does have some force powers and that she was going to force push
the
stormtroopers and shit. Like that these are deleted scenes that they're going to be on the Blu-ray.
One of the things too is like when Finn's like, they're like, what are you going to do? How are you going to find this place? He goes, oh, I'll use the Force. And Han Solo's like, that's not how it works, kid. It's like, fuck you. You don't know.
No, I love that. That was great. He's like, no, we'll just use the Force. No,
anybody is being
protected. Guess what? He does. Yeah. He does use the Force. He shows up at the right time.
If anyone is being protected by the Force, it's fucking Finn.
Yeah.
That guy is. But more importantly, you get this weird thing where he's like, we gotta find Rey. I'm going to do something really, really stupid to go find her. And then Han's just like, hey. He's like, what? Hey.
Yeah,
what?
There she is.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And I also felt so stupid, because here's another thing that bothered me about Maz, is he's like, I need to go, I need a weapon, I need a blaster. She's like, you have a weapon. He's like, a lightsaber?
Compared to blasters?
Are you fucking crazy? Like, I have no training whatsoever.
Yeah, I have no force powers.
I'm not a Jedi. I've never picked up one of these in my life. I know how to use a blaster.
But you know how lightsabers work? It's because you have the Force, so you don't chop your own arms off.
No, you don't. Because Han Solo used it to cut open the Tauntaun.
Yeah, but I'm in an actual battle, when you're I swing swords around a lot. You're probably gonna hit yourself in the face with a lightsaber that would cut your own arm.
The lightsaber, you don't even have to swing.
It's not like I train with swords. It's like I just swing them around a lot. I cut my own head off 19 times.
There's no training to cut something. A lightsaber is a beam of light. You don't need energy behind you.
No, you don't need energy.
No. It's to not hit yourself is the problem.
You could walk with a lightsaber like this and kill everything in front of you.
Lightsabers fight because
you do need strength because like you clash a lot, and especially in Star Wars movies,
only
they clash
against things
a lot.
That you can't cut through.
Yeah, like other lightsabers.
But that's it.
A lot of it is force.
Let's talk about the super badass, the super badass stormtrooper with
but
the
I
electric tonfa.
But I had one more thing to say about Maz, and the one thing I didn't like about Maz is they walk into the bar and she yells out, "Han Solo, you can't, Han Solo. He's wanted by everyone in the galaxy. Stop yelling out his name." That's you're in a bar full of people. She should know
also,
better than that.
Yeah. Aren't you run a bar full of what are essentially pirates? Wouldn't you know, like, oh man, anonymity might be kind of important.
In. I imagine she does that for everybody who walks in.
Norm!
Ro Kempo! Yeah.
I love the
Adolf Hitler. Glad to see you came out of hiding to join
Hitler,
me at my bar.
You're here. No, but the cosmic reggae. Oh, I loved it so much. That was the best.
I don't know what the big deal was going to Maz's place. It's like, all right,
scene.
If anyone can do it, Maz can help you. But, you know, she's an acquired taste. She's a little weird. You got to get used to it. I'm like, oh, well, she runs a wretched hive of scum and villainy, so she's probably, like, cantankerous. No.
She's fine. She's just a sweet old lady.
And she runs that place, and she's serving drinks. Like, shouldn't she be, like, in the back, like Rick in Casablanca, you know?
I was imagining her, like, what's the character from Mass Effect who runs the bar?
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. I think it's almost
it
just
starts
called
with an
Mother.
A. No, it starts
with
an A. You
talking about Liara's mom?
No, the lady who runs the bar in
Mass Effect 2.
Mass Effect 2, yeah.
Aria?
Aria's bar?
Yeah.
Don't fuck with Aria. Yeah, Aria is an acquired taste.
Yeah, that's what it should have been. It should have been more
like
Aria.
I was a dick to her.
Yeah.
Every time.
She was a dick to you.
Yeah, she's a prick.
I like seeing more villainy and scoundrelness from Han Solo and Chewie. I like them having their own ship and all that, like, getting back to being villains. Mm-hmm. But I agree, Maz. Maybe
villains. You
best.
Mean just
scoundrels.
Not heroes?
The same things.
Scoundrels.
The same things I didn't like about Maz's dialogue. I didn't like about any interaction between Han and Leia. I felt like they were just restating a bunch of shit you already knew. And that made me think that maybe that dialogue was written second.
Well, no, that's the thing. It was because there's so much stuff, especially in the third act, that was shuffled around and moved about with like, shit, now we can't explain this. Well, let's just have Harrison and Carrie talk it out.
Yeah.
Because I'm fine with... all right, so I like Adam Driver, all right? But it is a little weird casting choice that you get two, like, 5'8 blondes to give birth to a 6'3 Armenian man.
Well, they're not blonde, but
whatever. I don't care.
He doesn't look like them. He doesn't sound like them. Like, no...
When Han and him are standing next to each other, I got enough in the eyes and everything that I liked it.
I think you're crazy.
I think they look nothing alike.
Don't care.
Like, eat it.
No, but...
he might as well have been an alien.
But I just saw what they were kind of going for with them. Like, they're awkward. They hadn't seen each other and they're divorced, but they still love each other and everything.
Yeah.
It was enough. I don't know.
It was too much. That's my argument. Yeah, it's too much. I mean,
I'm trying not to be a fanboy.
I say it's too much, but I still liked it.
I could have seen a little more space battle. There was a space battle.
The real drama was on the planet with Han and.
Well, I'm saying they could have cut some time from Leia and Han. Give me a little more space battle.
Honestly, was super hot in it.
I think you could have left out Han and Leia entirely and just have Chewbacca show up. For all the Chewbacca scenes, which were great,
and when he shoots Kylo Ren in the dick with his bowcaster,
yeah, he does,
and saves the day.
But also, no, when he detonates that shit after Han gets shot, I'm like, oh yeah, Chewie, take initiative.
Yeah, he's like, oh no, this game is over. Mm-hmm. You lose.
Yeah, we're doing this now.
He's like, I don't care, life debt.
Yeah, we're done. Yeah, I liked.
Even though he has a family at home that he should probably go check out.
Well, no. That's in the old.
Yeah,
canon,
that's done now.
New canon.
That's no, the Christmas special.
I don't know.
Oh, man, also.
Dude, expanded. No, expand the expanded
No, that's
universe.
Not expanded. That's actual movie canon.
It's not, though. It's
yes,
not.
It is.
Dude, no. Disney released a chart showing this and this and this and this. They're saying the only thing that live action that counts, they said specifically, the only live action stuff that counts is the prequel trilogy and original trilogy and the new trilogy.
Oh, Disney doesn't tell me what
the only other thing besides that is the Clone Wars cartoon, the CG one, and the CG Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't count
the Ewok
Tarkovsky
adventures.
Version.
Although
they don't count the Ewoks. They don't count the Tarkovsky.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. George Lucas hated the Tarkovsky version.
It was so good.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was good. He hates anything that's good.
It was. It's one. It's. You know, in fact, it's still my favorite piece of Star Wars media.
It was great,
man.
It was really good.
Caravan of Courage.
But I do want to talk about some EU stuff. Where like I read today comic book. Because I was looking up Star Wars shit, and it explains Poe Dameron's parents. And the comic book was kind of mediocre, but just explaining why he'd be so gung-ho is great. His dad was a commando who stormed the moon of Endor, and his mom was the second in command of the A-Wing squadron that led the attack on the second Death Star. So they boned afterwards. I don't know. He is literally the coming together of like two versions of rebel heroes
in the Endor Death Party as the world.
Oh yeah, no, they totally. Oh, that's where he was conceived. Was definitely on Endor
in an Ewok fucking hut or whatever.
Yeah,
and
in an actual Ewok fucking hut too.
Yeah. They have the special huts
that's
for that.
The fucking hut
occupied. Sorry, Luke and Leia.
It's the Ewok dance.
Did you say sorry, Luke and Leia? I think you mean Han and Leia.
No,
but...
I know what I said.
That's my headcanon. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Bad Storytellers, now presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream us from Google Play. I've been your host, Josh LaForge, and I'd like to thank my writing group again, Doug Banks, Liam Malone, and Max Wessel. Now remember, as listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow to find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming. Visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Bad Storytellers on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.